Welcome to GleeCast, the somewhat occasionally weekly home of Glee and casting. Here are your hosts, Emily and Erica.
Here we are.
Hodor, Erica.
Hodor.
Hodor. You say Hodor. I always just say Hodor.
Oh, you say Hodor?
Yeah.
I don't know. How does he say it on the show?
That's a good question. I've never paid attention enough to know.
I read it first, so to me it's Hodor.
I guess Hodor just sounds awkward for me to actually say out loud.
Hodor.
So this is Game of Thrones cast.
Yes, it is.
Would it be great if it was?
We should just change our minds.
So, listeners, would you notice if we did? I mean, the problem is, though, we're both in different places with Game of Thrones, because I just read the second book, but have not watched any of the series. And you haven't watched season two yet, either.
No, I haven't watched any of season two. So once I catch up, we could potentially watch season two.
I don't know, but, I mean, Glee, right? Glee! But, you know, you can see from the outline, obviously we've been on hiatus, because Glee's been on hiatus, and a lot has happened since we've been on hiatus. Apologies for not actually getting into the bonus show that we totally thought we were going to.
There was no time.
I fucking watched Twilight 3, thinking that we were going to get to Twilight 4.
All right, well, we will eventually.
We better, because I watched Twilight 3, and the entire movie is just three of them fighting over each other, and I don't understand it. Somebody explain to me. I just don't get it.
Sorry.
It's okay. I understand the Hunger Games. I understand the excitement of that. Because I really like the movie, actually. I just bought the book. I haven't read it yet. But somebody needs to really explain to me why Twilight is what it is.
Because it's like a train wreck. You just can't look away.
Maybe that's it. Speaking of train wrecks, you know what else is a train wreck?
Smash?
Yeah. They keep making Leo act, and it's really funny.
Oh, it's the worst. Every time he comes on now, I'm like, oh my God.
See, every time he comes on, I'm like, yeah. That's when I like pause, go make popcorn, and come back and watch it. Because, and I looked him up, and he's like in his 20s, so I don't feel bad making fun of him as being like a young actor. He's just so bad.
Just who is he related to? He has to be related to someone on the show, because you know, otherwise how do you get that part?
I was looking at his filmography on IMDb, and he is in a movie called After School that's streaming on Netflix. Oh. And it's about like these kids in a prep school who get somebody to overdose on drugs, and I'm gonna watch it soon to see if he's as bad in that as he is on Smash. I wish that were Smash's only problem.
No, it has other problems.
It has every problem. Like, I don't know. I think the only thing good about it to me now is the music. I think it's still really good. But even this week, like, how they had Tom is now in a minor love triangle with, you know, Sam the dancer and his kind of boring Republican boyfriend. But it's like they put this plot in there. Like, are we supposed to care?
I don't know.
It's like, here is a dull relationship, and here is a guy who likes sports. And that's the way you know somebody's cheating on you or is going to cheat on you, is they start talking about sports.
It's just like every dull cliche they could throw around.
Yeah, everything about the show is a cliche, and yet I'm still watching it.
Yeah, I am too.
And not just to see how bad Leo can act in an episode.
And they were like, last episode, they were like, Uma Thurman tonight on Smash. Uma Thurman, Uma Thurman.
They've been doing that.
She was in a minute.
They've been doing that because I noticed that a few weeks back where they were like, you know, coming up on Smash, and they showed all the stuff that happened, and then you got to the next episode and none of that was in there. It's like they always do a preview 2 weeks in advance. Hmm. It's weird because the same thing with this one. Like, they hyped this as the Uma Thurman episode, and she was, walked in at the very last minute. But I don't know why they do it that way. If they're like that unconfident about the next episode that they have to like build up two episodes.
Like,
hence,
check out
I don't
this
know.
Episode.
I would love to know more of what because nobody really, when we talk about it on the Facebook group, nobody really talks about Smash, and I'm curious because
it's like just me and you.
It's like you and me, and you're like, oh my God, did you see Leo cry? Lisa joins in for that too. But I'm curious if our listeners who watch Glee or don't watch Glee, if they're watching Smash, because it does seem like the, you know, older sister show to it.
Yeah.
And it has just as many problems, but they're different problems, which I find very amusing. Oh, but now Terrence Mann is on it, so I'm happy.
Okay.
So that's exciting to me. Okay, other things that happened. Did you watch the Inside the Actors Studio on Glee? I did. I watched it last night. I should have saved it, and then you could have watched it today. I just deleted it after it was over.
It's okay.
It was Matthew Morrison, Leah Michelle, Corey Monheith, Chris Colfer, Ryan Murphy, and Jane Lynch. And Ian Brennan was in the audience and occasionally got to talk, but they wouldn't let him sit on stage. I don't know what that was about. It had some interesting tidbits. I know, who told us about that? Was it Lisa or Helene? Somebody posted on Facebook, and I want to say thank you to them, because it was, I would not have found it otherwise. It was interesting to hear them. It was very rushed, just because there were so many of them on stage. It was interesting to hear them kind of talk about their starts. And you're like, Corey Monteith had an interesting story, I thought. And he seemed more interesting to me watching him give an interview than he ever has on Glee.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa. But there was, if you can find it, I'm sure people, it's probably being rerun.
Yeah.
There were some interesting tidbits on there. Matthew Morrison broke dance. What's the past tense of breakdance?
Breakdance.
Okay. He did that. Jane Lynch was very funny. They kept showing clips of Glee, but it was all like season one and two stuff.
Of course it was.
Yeah, because I don't know what you would show in season three. And it was very self-important. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's just the way Inside the Actor's Studio has become. If, like, because James Lipton knows that he's kind of a joke. That, like, there's been so many parodies of him that he would does that now. But it felt very overly self-important. That was that. The Glee yearbook, did you look at that at all?
Well, there is no photo yet because it's not released yet.
Okay. Entertainment Weekly had...
on Amazon there wasn't.
Entertainment Weekly posted something about it and did have pictures from it. I don't know how complete it was. I believe, was it Beth who actually got it or pre-ordered it?
Pre-ordered it.
Okay. So, Beth, if you can share with us what you thought of it in the end. All right. Other things, just random things I wanted to bring up that were somehow connected to Glee. I watched the Fame remake, which was directed by the guy who directed the Glee 3D movie.
Oh.
It was really bad.
That explains a lot. I watched that on a plane once.
Wasn't it really bad?
Yeah.
Didn't it start really good?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll watch this.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why am I still watching this?
For the first half hour, I was there. I was like, this is, like, they got it. Like, they very much were just updating the original. They have the audition process. Like, I was so into it. And all of a sudden, it just crashed and burned.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about it.
Because they just kept focusing on the really boring people. That was a problem.
Okay.
So that's my 2 cents on that. And we have to thank Christina.
Yes, for posting a very special trailer on our page.
Oh my God. Step up for revolution.
It's coming.
It is coming to conquer.
Yes.
Do we know when it comes out? No. It's summertime, I think. People, if you have not yet, drop what you're doing right now and go to Facebook. We have to thank the lovely Christina of Girls on Film for posting the trailer to Step Up 4.
July 27th.
July 27th? Okay. Because the way they advertise it, it is a combination of everything that makes a dance movie great. It is a wrong side of the tracks love story and a Save the Rec Center movie in one. And the dancing looks great. The robot guy is back.
Moose is back.
You saw him, right? Yeah. You did see him. Because I know at first you said you didn't, but he's at
Well, because I was live reading my reaction.
Yeah. And then at the very end, and I love that, how, like, even in the trailer, they saved it for the people who know. The people who know are like, where's Moose? There's Moose! And, like, he just, like, shows up and starts doing his thing. And I knew at that point, I'm like, this... I mean, the way last year I declared The Muppets to be the best movie of 2010 before it came out,
mm-hmm.
right, or 2011. Today, I'm declaring Step Up 4 is going to be the best movie of 2012. No
better
question
than
about
the
it.
Avengers.
Better than the Avengers.
Better than
anything like Scorsese or I think like Terrence
better
Malick has Lame nine
is.
More movies coming out. Nope, nothing. Nothing on Step Up 4 Revolution. Oh, God, it was amazing. Do we have anything else? Anything? No?
No.
Episode? All right. What was the episode called?
Big Brother.
Okay. Full disclosure, I only watched the episode once. I just watched it like 10 minutes ago. Erica just watched it for the second time with me.
I did.
It's a little different. This is the first time I've ever done it this way. It's kind of crazy. I don't know. Crazy. Weird. Whoa.
I feel like it was a pretty forgettable episode, so.
Well, yes. Okay. Sad, but I mean, it had good pedigree behind it. Written by Michael Hitchcock. Directed by the dreamy, redheaded Eric Stoltz.
Or Hitchcock, as you have written down in the outline.
Oh, I wrote this quickly.
I know. It's just funny. Hitchcock.
Yeah. We don't want to look at all the typos in my Glee cap. Okay, but here we go. McKinley High is back in session with a new special guest star, the guy from White Collar, who shows up to be Blaine's big celebrity commercial star brother that makes everybody's favorite bow tie wearer feel inadequate. Kind of like Finn, who starts to realize again, with Puck's prodding, that maybe he should figure out what he wants to do with life other than follow Rachel around. But let's forget our troubles for Senior Ditch Day, which makes Quinn realize Artie's point in that being handicapped is both challenging and rewarding, and despite some carefully placed exposition at the top of the episode, might not be semi-permanent. In unrelated news, Sue is now helping the Glee Club on their way to nationals since a championship will defend her coaching job, something that's been put in jeopardy since her baby-making time commitment. We still don't know who's the daddy, but we can be pretty sure the little Sylvester has Down syndrome or a related condition. But that's cool because Becky shows up to remind us about that. Roller coasters got ridden. Texting while moving is now forbidden. And when in doubt, point, point, point. In case you missed it, on Glee. Okay, so, yeah, now, I guess in terms of Glee, we were also supposed to assume some time has passed. Maybe?
Yeah, I think so. I think about the same amount of time. Cause
okay.
Maybe it was like spring break for them or something.
Okay, I'll buy that. We start the episode immediately with Quinn in a wheelchair so that she can tell us in very clear exposition.
Do not text while driving.
Well, no, that comes later. Oh, no, you're right. I think she says it then, but later it's don't text while walking, which was hilarious. But yes, Quinn comes to tell us that she is in a wheelchair, has all of her, from I guess her waist up is fine. Her legs are slowly, she's getting feeling back in them. And supposedly with a lot of physical therapy, she will be okay. Eventually.
She quotes graduation, but we'll see.
Right. And I mean, she seems happy, not happy about it, but she seems, you know,
accepting.
Very accepting and very positive. Whereas everybody else around her is uncomfortable and Rachel starts crying and making it about Rachel. And then later, after Senior Ditch Day, which we'll get to, she's been bonding with Artie, who obviously can give her some tricks of the trade. And he kind of tells her, you know, it's probably not semi-permanent.
I
what was that about?
I don't even know what to think of. I mean, I understand that he doesn't want her because he's been through that, like, oh,
that
there's this
hope.
Operation, yeah. Blah, blah. But they told Artie he would never walk again.
Right. Doctors told Quinn, as far as we know, unless she's lying about this, it's going to take some time, but you're going to, you know, you are physically able to walk again eventually.
So why is Artie being a Debbie Downer about
it? Right. Is it because he's jealous or is it because he's a realist?
I don't know. It was weird.
I don't know. Weigh in, folks. Weigh in. And Tina got to cry. I think that's all she did this episode.
That's all she did
this episode. Pretty much. Okay, so, Senior Ditch Day, I just wanted to make a mention of, because they treated it like the most important thing, and they treated it the way Junior Prom was treated last season.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the most, we only get one Senior Ditch Day.
And everybody was with them, but aren't some of the, who, I don't even know at this point, who's
Tina,
a senior?
You're right, Tina was there, and she's not a senior.
Yeah.
Blaine was not, though, and they even pointed that out, and how he chose not to. But yeah, I think Tina is the only one who should not have been there as far as we know. No, you're right. Sugar and Damien were also there.
Is Mercedes a senior?
I think so, because
but why haven't we been over, like, what is Mercedes doing after school?
Maybe because the writers keep forgetting about her.
Oh, maybe.
And I could be wrong about that, but I feel like the reason I'm thinking she is a senior is because I feel like back when they were doing West Side Story, she was also saying, well, this is my last year here.
Okay.
Of course, they could just change their minds about that.
Ryan Murphy could change it.
Oh, my God. Speaking of, on the Inside the Actors Studio thing, James Lipton makes a comment of how, like, you know, my students here at Pace University, that's a terrible James Lipton impersonation. I'm sorry. He's like, you know, they always say this is the best time of their years, and when they're seniors, they always ask me to flunk them. Ryan Murphy, I ask you, flunk them. And, of course, everybody cheers. No! Let them graduate and give us new characters.
Let them go.
Oh, it's going to be bad next year. I'm worried. But that just reminded me. So I don't know about Mercedes. And maybe some of our listeners are more in tune to that. Or maybe it's in the yearbook. I don't know. I thought she was a senior just because I felt like I remembered that being a thing. But I don't know. But yeah, there were other characters that should not have been there. Did you have senior... We called it Senior Cut Day.
Yeah, Senior Cut Day.
What did you do on Senior Cut Day?
I think we just went to the beach.
Oh. You know what we did?
What?
We went to the circus.
Nice.
It was fun. Okay. Now, what do we got next? Do you want to go to Sue?
Yeah, she had a short enough story.
Yeah. So Sue, I kind of like the mechanics of this story, because basically Sue was told by Figgins, next year Roz is going to be your co-coach. And Sue said, well, if I win you a national championship, then it's my job. And so Sue said, well, I can help the Glee Club, and if they win the Nationals, then... So now it forces Sue to be involved with the Glee Club.
And it kind of gives her a reason to be there.
Exactly. And it makes sense, and it gives her a reason to help them versus just them deciding today Sue is nice.
Yeah.
So I like that, and I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Because I like the Roz and Sue scene. I like Nini. I'm sorry.
Right. No, I thought I would hate her because I don't give a shit about somebody being famous for a reality show. But I actually agree. I think she's been fine on the show. I don't think Sue was too hard on them at booty camp.
No, she was just Sue.
Yeah, and I mean, fuck, it's Nationals. We saw what happened last year. You guys need training.
Although you made a face at Kurt's email at the Tabitha comment. Tabitha is she hosts the Bravo. She's a Bravo reality star. Also.
Okay, of course.
She was on Sheer Genius. She did not win.
Okay,
but she's a very accomplished hairdresser, and like, she's known for her bitchy attitude, and she's a lesbian. So now she has her own show. Tabitha takes over, and originally she would take over salons that were doing poorly and revamp them, and
she was like the Gordon Ramsay of
whip everybody
of
into
salons.
Shape.
Okay.
But now the third season of Tabitha takes over. She could take over anything. So she's
like,
taking
she could
over,
walk into like an appliance company.
Yeah,
example,
and if they're doing poorly, she'll take over, kick everyone out, and reestablish authority in the store.
Interesting.
She did like a doggy daycare grooming place. She did a couple of bars. Still a lot of hair salons, but other places too.
Okay. Okay. All
but
right.
she's really funny. Oh, she just did a bed and breakfast. That one was really good.
Okay. Interesting. Let's see.
But yes, it is gay and niche.
As Sue assumed. Yes. Okay. Again. Oh, and the other news being, of course, Sue is pregnant, as we know, and she's having a girl, but most likely, I guess we were kind of led to assume Down syndrome.
Yeah.
Which is usually what NAMNIO shows,
would report.
I think, right?
Yeah. If it comes back irregular, that's what it would report. And I don't think at this stage it's definite. I think your amnio could come back irregular and you could still have a healthy baby, but in theory.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that is, you know, a definite risk of an older woman having a baby. That those risks go up, you know, much exponentially or whatnot. So I think that I'll be curious where that goes. It makes sense from...
I feel like if it was any other show, this would be the point where they would force the character to consider abortion.
Right.
But I feel like that's not an option for Sue, just because they've surrounded her with so many Downs
characters of Downs I think for her it... And even like the little scene with Becky, I thought was actually very nice.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, it is. It's somebody you realize with Sue, like, if, surprisingly enough, if there was ever a woman equipped with being a single mother to somebody with Down syndrome, which of course is a different responsibility than just, you know, having a healthy non-Down syndrome baby, Sue is somebody that could do it because, you know, she raised her sister, essentially. Okay, and let's do the, before we get to Blaine, let's do the Puck thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, well, just basically there was a little more Finn-Rachel. Okay, well, they didn't get married, obviously, because, you know, Quinn texted, Mookie, you're not coming up here. Damn it, he is. Okay, but then I kind of like that the way Puck was carefully trying to show Finn that, A, he needs to think about his own options, as everybody else has already told him, and B, hey, why not move to California and be a pool cleaner? Look, you get all these, you know, older women that will sleep with you.
Who in California are considered ugly.
Exactly. So there you go. I liked this. I liked, again, I always liked the Puck-Finn friendship, so I liked Puck actively helping him and, you know.
But, like, was he helping him to be like, hey, you need to move on, or was he helping him because he was like, I want someone to come with me?
Maybe both. I don't know. My issue with that, though, the storyline itself, was that it ended the show on Finn and Rachel being like, well, what do you want to do? I don't know. Bum, bum, bum. And I just really, like, come on, Ryan Murphy, you must know by now that we don't give a shit about Rachel and Finn. We don't, it's one thing to force their relationship into every episode. It's another thing to, like, make the cliffhanger about them every time. Because we don't care. And I can't believe that he doesn't realize that yet. But yeah. And lastly, we have, I guess, the main story of the episode.
Yeah, Blaine got his own story.
Blaine got his own story, which was great if it wasn't crammed into one episode in such a weird way.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the... I don't forget the actor's name.
Matt Bomer.
I thought he was funny. He was fine. I liked the idea of his character a lot. But we didn't even know Blaine ever had a brother. And all of a sudden this episode is, yeah, I have a brother. And I've always felt inadequate with him. And three songs later, they resolve it.
Yep.
And that just pissed me off. Wow.
Now, this is what I've been waiting for, to talk about this. There's three working actors right now who all closely resemble each other.
Okay.
Blaine's brother is one of them. That's Blaine's brother.
Okay. Matt Bomer.
This is Wes Bentley.
Wes Bentley does look like them.
He was in The Hunger Games.
Yes, of course. He had American Beauty and
that's about it.
P2.
And this is Sean Mayer.
From
Serenity
Firefly.
And Firefly.
Right.
They all have the same fucking face.
Oh my God, you're right about that.
Because I went to go see The Hunger Games,
mm-hmm.
and Wes Bentley came on screen, and I was like,
it's Simon.
And I watched the whole movie.
With amazing facial hair.
The entire film, convinced that it was Sean Mayer, and then I was like, well, blah, 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 to Lisa, and she's like, no, that was Wes Bentley. And I was like, what?
See, Wes Bentley always reminded me of someone else. I'm trying to think of who.
And then this came on, and I was like, he has the same face as the other two.
And they all have those, like, blue eyes, too.
They're all the same person, I swear.
Okay, well, so now, the next episode...
It's going to be
about the older brother, Cooper, having a flashback with his older brother, played by Wes Bentley.
Exactly.
Because they can just cram that into one episode.
We need to just add on more Anderson brothers.
Yeah.
Because they could all play each other's brothers.
Wes Bentley, right. I'm like, his name is Wes Anderson. No, that would be someone else completely.
But Cooper Anderson was a very cute tongue-in-cheek wink at Anderson Cooper.
Why did I not even get that?
I don't know.
I don't know why it took me so... I only watched the episode once. I'm just blaming it on that. I'm still on vacation. I'm not, like, mine's not there yet.
But yeah, I was excited to talk about how they all have the same face, because they do.
That's crazy. Wow.
Same face.
Yeah, it's like all, I mean, it's handsome, but not overly so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of forgettable. Because, I mean, they all kind of could easily blend together. Wow, that's weird. Good work.
So, yeah.
Good work, Erica.
Thanks.
Also, Helene pointed us to a very funny clip, which she also put on the Facebook group, of Blaine and Cooper making a audition video for Transformers 4. That was actually really entertaining and cute. It's like 2 minutes. You should watch it, folks. So I guess that was it, right?
Yeah.
A mediocre episode.
As much as was going on, there was nothing exciting.
There were good moments. I think, like, the masterclass I thought was really funny.
Yeah.
It was just really, not the comeback I wanted for a 7-week hiatus, you know. Songs. Why don't you talk about the first one, Erica?
The first song was sung by Quinn and Artie from their wheelchairs, and it was I'm Still Standing.
Except they're not because they're in wheelchairs.
Oh, it's so funny. Glee is so clever.
Ah, they're ironic. Get it? I have to say, watching this was more entertaining because as soon as it started, Erica just turned to me, like snapped her head and just looked at me. And that was all I needed to know about how Erica felt about this.
I think the vocals are good. I like hearing Quinn and Artie together. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever had them sing together, have we?
I don't know.
Not memorably.
Yeah, right? not that I can recall.
It was a cute duet, but it was just like,
they're in wheelchairs.
Come on,
it's
Ryan
not like
Murphy.
Season one, it was cute when they did Proud Mary and it was all them, you know.
In the wheelchairs.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Because that was like solidarity. Like, let's do this for Artie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Next one. We get the brothers.
Yep. We have Blaine and Cooper singing Hungry Like... it's a mashup. It's Hungry Like the Wolf in Rio.
Oh, it was Hungry Like the Wolf in Rio. I didn't realize that.
By Duran Duran.
Yep. It felt painfully auto-tuned and false and fake for me.
Well, maybe Cooper Anderson can't sing.
It might have been that. But it was like, even like when there was a certain point where, and I was like the whole time I was not into it. I was not feeling this one. And then all of a sudden, like, there's so much background vocals and you're watching this and you're like, who the fuck is doing that? They're both not singing this part.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it just felt...
It was more about the song than the performance.
Yeah. And in part, maybe, earlier today, Erica, what did we watch?
America's Next Top Model, British Invasion.
British Invasion, that's right. Which, by the way, is so pissily named. Because it's called British Invasion, my DVR didn't pick it up the first time, and I realized halfway through that it wasn't recording. Anyway, and on American Next Top Model, British Invasion, this week was the music video episode, which Erica knows was painful.
I was just uncomfortable the whole time.
It was pretty uncomfortable in a wonderful way.
I was embarrassed for them.
But the other thing about that was it was so clear how these girls have never lip synced before in their life.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, I imagine. I've never had to do it professionally. Shocking, I know. And watching it, like, you realize how there is an art to it. And it makes you appreciate people that can do it really well. And that's maybe that was it in part that, and that also just made me feel like this was so also artificial and lip sync and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch, but it was definitely more about the song and all the layers of the song, which I feel like Duran Duran always has. There's always like 19 other vocals going under the regular track. So,
yeah,
rather than it feeling like it was actually performed in front of the Glee Club.
Yeah,
although I do think the Glee Club was also singing at some point.
Okay, it just never felt like it. I don't know. It was weird. We move on to
Fighter by Christina Aguilera, sung by one Blaine Anderson.
I thought it was called Stronger. I was
no,
wrong.
We did Stronger last week by Kelly Clarkson. Or however many weeks
whenever,
ago.
Whenever. I like that it moved around a lot. Like, it was Blaine here, Blaine in the gym. Blah, blah. I like that aspect. And I feel like Darren Criss was fine, but because the song was so unearned for the episode, because all of a sudden Blaine has a brother and he feels really insecure because of his brother is so mean to him and blah, 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 blah. And now we're supposed to really believe that Blaine is this way when everything we've ever seen about Blaine is that he's confident.
Yep.
And all of a sudden he's not. And so it was not, if you had isolated the song, I think it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't work for the episode.
No, in the context of the episode, it was just, I didn't believe it. No.
I see that.
Yeah. Oh, next one?
Next was, again, Artie and Quinn, but they had backing by the Glee Club because it happened in two different places.
Yep.
And it was Up, Up, Up by Givers.
Ah, okay. We had the handicap gang doing
at the skate park
doing sports, and we had the amusement park montage, which is another funny thing. On the Inside the Actors Studio, they showed... like, the only full clip they showed was when they did New York, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, the same exact thing. It's all of them running around happy, and it's Rachel with a balloon, which is exactly how they did this montage.
Maybe Lea Michele really likes balloons.
That could be it.
She's like, someone get me a balloon.
I will not do this number until I get a red balloon. It happened. It was fine. It was cute. Blah. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of how I feel about most of the songs this episode. Don't you fucking bite me, Mookie. I will cut you. Okay.
The last song is Somebody That I Used to Know by Gautier, which I had to look up how to say because it's spelled really funny. I would have called it Gautier.
I would have spelled it Gautier.
Yeah. Gautier, that's what it's, yeah.
I mean, it's like Gautier, but spelled very differently.
Gautier. And it was sung by Blaine and Cooper. I actually really like this performance, but I really like the song, even though I only heard the song for the first time the week before this on The Voice. Someone sang it.
Mm.
I had never heard it before. I had never heard of Gautier, but apparently he's really a big internet sensation. I had no idea.
So he'll be famous for another 5 days.
Yes.
At which point?
No, I think he's big in Australia. I think that's where.
Okay.
His like three. I was reading
Nigel,
the Wikipedia page.
Nigel, tell us about that then.
He has three prior albums there. So, but I really like the song, and I liked the arrangement, and I liked the way it was sung. I like
it. Was nice. I just, again, was so annoyed by the end. I wonder how I would have felt the second time around. Probably more annoyed, actually. It just felt they got a guest star, and they decided,
he really qualify as a guest star?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because I don't know what came first. I don't know if it was, hey, we want Blaine's brother. Let's go casting Blaine's brother. Okay, this guy is semi-famous. Let's use him. Or was it, this guy's going to be on Glee. Let's give him a great part. They gave the guy, well, two songs, I guess, because Darren Criss had the other one. But it was, such a shoehorned major plot that, again, and this was a problem I've had on Smash a lot, which is all of a sudden they tell us something about the character that they have never given us any reason to think. For my problem with Smash, was when you find out Ivy's mother is Bernadette Peters as a very famous Bernadette Peters-like Broadway diva. And there was nothing in the show to ever make you think that she was the daughter of someone famous. I always felt Ivy probably came from poor, you know, probably was like, grew up poor and maybe was like a beauty pageant girl or something where she was working her whole life to get to the point where she was and she still couldn't get it. And all of a sudden, oh no, she's just living in the shadow of her famous mother. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that about the character that you've introduced me to for 10 episodes now. And that's what it felt like with this. We have never seen Blaine not have his confidence and be comfortable in who he is and his talents. And all of a sudden it was, he actually feels secondary to his older brother, who, by the way, he has.
Yeah. Oh. P.S.
P.S. It bothered me.
Yeah. Glee. I don't know how much longer we're going to be holding on here.
We're trying for you, listeners. We will keep going.
Oh, man.
I mean, we may just start talking about Queen Cersei and, King, and you know, Jaime and...
Well, the next two episodes are Saturday Night Gleaver and Dance with Somebody, so we're kind of fucked for
Fuck. The disco episode just... Well, the funny thing about the disco episode when they advertised it was, I don't know if you caught it, they were like, this show defined a generation. Now, what happens when they tackle another generation? Wait, what generation are we in that Glee defined us? I don't know. As if maybe we're just too old. Maybe
it's not our generation.
Maybe not.
It's a younger generation.
Yeah, but I have worked. Disco, I don't know. It was fun if they sprinkled it in, but an whole episode about how disco sucks. But disco's really about, you know that's going to happen. You know a character is going to have a speech about what disco is really about. I'm calling it right now. So there's that. The Whitney Houston one is, I'm dreading. Because I can't remember who it was. I think it was Helene who made the great point that Whitney Houston is not like Fleetwood Mac or like Michael Jackson, where it's not that she has these original songs that are begged to be reinterpreted. No, because she didn't write a lot of her songs. I don't even know if she wrote any. And it's about her performance, not about her music. So what we're going to have is Mercedes doing a lot of bad Whitney Houston impersonations.
Well, I'm looking at the song list now. I think there's only one that's like a big... It's mostly her dance numbers. There's only one like big ballad.
Okay. Well, they've already done I Will Always Love You, right?
Yeah.
Is I Want to Dance with Somebody on there at least? Because yeah. I really do like that
I do
song,
like that song.
So, yeah. Good karaoke song.
But everything else is pretty up-tempo.
Okay. We'll see. I should suspend judgment, but...
The Bee Gees episode, though, I'm not happy with.
Is it all Bee Gees, or is it all just disco?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... Oh, wait, I lost count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 songs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 songs are the Bee Gees.
Okay. Time will tell. Time.
The middle is fine, but the last two songs, I could just see where they're going with it, and I'm like, fuck you. Just fuck you.
That's how Erica really feels.
That's it. That's all I got.
Well, high notes?
Cooper Anderson. I liked him.
Okay. I like the masterclass. I thought that was like a good 5 minutes of just funny.
It was a good time.
Because, I mean, the you know, camera work and such was entertaining. The, you know, here's how you do a headshot. Boop, boop, boop. Yeah. Was entertaining.
And pointing.
Yeah, the CSI reenactment was entertaining. I thought that was just fun, and I liked it. And I always like when they bring in these kind of very extreme characters, and they let them go all the way. And I really like that within that scene that he did, you know. The other things, we had a great Brad moment, did we not?
Did we?
When Sue threw Mercedes' phone, oh, Brad fist pumped.
Yes, he did.
Which was great.
Even though in the shot before that, he is playing the music, but his phone is on top of the music sheet.
Maybe it was a metronome. Maybe he had an app Maybe. That's a metronome. Right. I made that up just now, and I'm really proud of it, and I'm going to stick to it.
Go for it.
Blaine. Oh, the flashback with little Blaine.
Oh, he
was really cute. And he had that great line of, I just learned to walk 3 years ago. I thought the teaching Quinn how to go up the ramp had a really cute line when Artie says to her, it's just like having a baby. It was cute. I guess that was all it my head notes, wasn't it?
I mean, it had its little moments. It's just overall, it was very...
It lacked energy. I thought the episode on a whole, and maybe it was just because there was no solid storyline for the series. It was a standalone Blaine's brother thing that with all those scenes with the brother and everybody else were really entertaining, I thought. Because even with Sue has a good moment with him. Kurt's really cute when he clearly is like, oh my God. But the scenes of Blaine and his brother were just so forced because they came out of nowhere. So it had energy and sparks, but it was just a meh episode.
It was.
Low notes.
Yeah, you have it written down too. Just the whole texting PSA they had to shove in.
But they shoved it in, and then like they had a kind of funny line, but it was where Finn is like, I'll never text again. Okay, I mean like not while walking. I'll only text in class and in movie theaters, which was kind of funny, except it's not because I know because people who really obnoxious. Do and don't. Yeah. I oh my God, did I tell you about that argument I had at work one day?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
No.
You don't fucking text in a movie theater, people.
Don't do it.
Fucking text in a movie theater. You paid $13 to see that movie. The person next to you paid $13 to see that movie. They didn't pay to see the light go off on your phone. They didn't do it. Thank you. Yeah, and just the cramness of the brother relationship was my biggest.
Yeah, it was just not a great episode overall.
Nah, it wasn't. We do have some feedback, do we not?
We do.
Okay. This is from the one and only Wayne Kotke, who titles his email, They See Me Rollin', They Hatin', or How Do You Mend a Broken Quinn? Wayne writes, Long tall Sally and run around Sue. Look who's come crawling back. Why, it's Glee, and they've brought their big brother with them. It's hard to know what to say about this episode, since it contains glimpses of Glee at both its near best and near worst, but mostly hovers right around the middle there and ends up being kind of a wash. While I was watching it the first time, I thought was, this is a good episode, drowning in a kind of bad one. So far, I haven't read this email yet, but so far I pretty much agree with everything you just said. But let's dive into the play-by-play. The episode immediately got on my good side by bringing back the recap at the top of the show. What I like about these is that the recaps tend to be irreverent and don't take the characters as seriously as they take themselves. The recap guy, Ian Brennan, ? Can just flat out say that Sue getting pregnant is crazy, and that the medieval glee club from regionals made everyone uncomfortable. Later on in the show, we'll see that Sue is also allowed to do some brutal meta-reviewing of her own series. Glee does occasionally call itself on its own bullshit. Give it credit for that.
It does.
If Quinn in her wheelchair had entered the tune of Riding Dirty by Chameleonaire, this episode would have instantly rated an A. But Glee isn't that kind of show. I do love how Quinn shuts Rachel down after just a few seconds of fake enthusiasm. I'm not wild about the Roller Quinn storyline, but it gives Deanna of Aragon some much-deserved acting time, and, even better, has her sharing scenes with Kevin McHale, another one of the more talented actors in the Glee ensemble. Watching Quinn and Artie is incalculably preferable to watching Rachel and Finn. For proof, watch any Rachel Finn scene in this episode.
Very true.
Yep, exactly. I do love Rachel's look of disbelieving horror at Quinn's line, this is the happiest day of my life. Really, though, Quinn, this is the happiest day? Yikes, what the hell is the second happiest? Probably giving up her baby for adoption?
Yeah.
Hate to be a buzzkill, Q, but you're not standing better than you ever did. You've stood way, way better than this before, and WTF is up with that line. If love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. Don't bring clowns into this Glee, I beg you. Oh my God, I'm totally with you on that, Wayne. This number brings up something I've wanted to address for some time. Reaction shots during musical numbers. This must be the bane of the Glee cast's existence. Film reaction shots when they're all grinning like idiots and nodding their heads to the beat. But watch the reactions during I'm Still Standing. The other Glee clubbers cannot hide their discomfort at the situation. I agree. And that's been an issue of mine on some of the like big ensemble numbers where it's just, you can tell they're sitting there and they don't know what to do. And this one was very awkward to watch, but I think it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne continues, worst fake crying of the episode? Tina. If Quinn can basically will herself into Yale, then I'm convinced she can will herself out of that chair. Artie is skeptical, and they're doing lots of focus pulls between Q&A. You know those shots where one is blurry and the other isn't focused, then they reverse it? Holy shit, I just realized those initials. That's what they called if they were a couple. Q and A. They're going to be a couple just because they can do that. You know that,
well,
right?
Just because they're in wheelchairs now.
Well, yeah. That too, but... because or Quarty is kind of fun.
Quarty.
I'm sick of Roz. Ooh, I'm sick of her bronze medal. I'm sick of her tracksuit. I'm sick of this whole storyline. It was funny once, then less funny than that, and now it's excruciating. End this Glee. The only thing I liked from this is Figgins saying the made-up word, go coach. Roz's Find a New Dream speech had me wondering, who talks like that? Does she stay up nights writing that shit and then memorizing it so she can say it at just the right time? If you all remember, I also accused Sebastian of doing pretty much the same thing. Erica's just glaring.
I'm not glaring. You've paused.
I paused because I thought you might have something to say, but Sydney just glared.
No, I thought you were going to say something else. I don't have a problem with Roz. I find her amusing, and I think it's a good setup to get Sue to do something else. Yeah.
Oh, and to answer his question, who talks like that? People on reality shows talk like that.
Yes.
People on reality shows talk very much as if they've thought really hard about what they're going to say, but are usually not smart enough to actually have anything to say it cleverly, which is kind of like that, which makes sense. He continues, do you suppose Jane Lynch is using the same pregnancy pad Terry used in season one? Weird. Best little moment of the episode. Brad smiling and doing a fist pump when Mercedes' phone is smashed. Someone make a gif of this. Talk about a throwaway gag. Am I right, people? Well, obviously, Wayne, you and I are already on the same page there. I'm with Sue. I had to Google Tabitha. Wayne, you are my buddy of this email so far. It is me and him versus you, Erica. And there's two of us. And Mookie's on my side. I'm with Sue. I had to Google Tabitha to find out who that is. Wasn't really worth it. And Sue, you're teasing us by calling Emma Barbara Gordon. It made me think of Jayma Mays in the Batgirl costume from the 1960s. Again, if Emma were fighting crime in costume by night, this episode would have been an easy A. I somehow love that McKinley has a club devoted to fixies, the most hated bikes on the internet. What's a fixie?
Apparently it's a bike.
Apparently it's the most hated bike on the internet. Apparently. Okay. And at last we get to the one element of Big Brother that worked like gangbusters. The story with Blaine and his egotistical older brother, Cooper Anderson. Clever name, no? Eventually, once I got it. This was so reminiscent of Ted Baxter and his older brother, Hal Baxter, on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Very similar dynamic. I'm glad that Glee managed to get some pure fun out of this relationship before going for the overly heavy, overly dramatic conclusion of the story. Matt Bormer was terrific as the dense, overconfident Cooper, and I loved that this story put Blaine in a new light as well. It was great seeing Blaine in the role of an insecure, jealous younger brother, frustrated with his brother, but eager to please, too. And I really liked that Blaine was the only one immune to Cooper's charm, and how he was increasingly annoyed at how everyone else in the cast, including Sue and Kurt, fawned over Cooper. Am I the only one who sees what a jackass this guy is? Blaine seemed to be thinking. Like I said, Glee opted to go for a big dramatic confrontation instead of letting the story breathe for a while, but that's typical. They rushed to get some kind of closure when there was no need to hurry, but who cares, really? What's important is that we got lots of hilarious stuff with these characters, including the duet on Rio and the acting seminar. Great work on this, Glee. This is some next-level shit. No, it would have been if they'd spread it over two episodes, Wayne! If Glee were a half-hour show and this episode had been entirely devoted to Blaine and Cooper, it would have been a mini-masterpiece. Exactly! But it wasn't! Okay. Brittany and Santana were glorified extras in this episode, but at least they got to cutely hold hands, and Santana got in a line or two. Rachel blatantly tries to make Quinn's accident about her. This is another low light of the episode for me. Quinn, mercifully, shuts her down again. This was a scene that had me actually heckling the TV screen. It's nice to see Puck and Finn get a storyline together, right? Corey Monheath will probably never be a good actor, but he's much more tolerable opposite Mark Salling. And I think we can all agree that cleaning pools of fucking California would be preferable to being married to Rachel in New York. Mm-hmm. Agreed. The scene which Sue introduces Cooper to the Glee Club and then the Anderson boys imitate Simon Le Bon, pure gold. Just so many great little flourishes, too many to count. God bless you, Michael Hitchcock, for writing this. Have I ever told you my theory that MJ's song Black and White rips off part of the melody from Rio? Well, that's pretty much the whole theory right there. It's black. I don't hear it.
Yeah,
do
I don't either.
No? Okay. We might need a fuller demonstration, Wayne. Since Quinn already gives an on-camera PSA about texting and driving during the episode proper, do we really need two additional PSAs about the same topic during the commercial breaks? I fast-forwarded through the commercials, so I didn't catch those. So apparently, Wayne, we did.
We did, yes.
Actually, no, we didn't, because we had him in the show. Yeah, so, I mean, for us. The scene of breadsticks with Blaine and Cooper? More gold. I'm sure you've mentioned all the good parts already, but I love Cooper's interplay with the waitress. I forgot about that, but we both did chuckle at that.
Yeah.
More evidence, which I kind of did this weekend, a little bit, because I went on vacation and I was in Kentucky, and I kind of worried. I'm like, oh, anytime I talk, people are gonna know I'm not from here, and then we have to explain where I'm from and blah blah blah. And at one point we went to a flea market, and especially there I was like, I don't want anybody to know that I'm an outsider. So I kind of put on my southern accent. I just didn't say much, but whenever I did, I'd be like, hi, thank you. Instead of thank you, I'd say thank you.
Thank you.
I'm working on the southern accent. More evidence that McKinley is a major shithole. The building is wheelchair accessible in theory only. I'm sure this set represents an angle of the school we've never seen before and never will again. Do we have any idea what WMHS really looks like or how big it is? Is there any sense of geography to this place? Meh.
Isn't it a school from another TV show?
Yes.
I forget which
one. I forget which one, too. It's not 90210, although that was the Buffy school, but I don't know. You know what makes the acting workshop funny? Well, lots of things, but let's not overlook Blaine's weary frustration with the idiocy of those around him. Why are you writing this down? He asks Kurt. This is the kind of sustained comic sequence that, frankly, Gleam needs more of. After all, its Emmy category is comedy, right? Good point. Finn's finest moment in this episode, struggling with his tropical drink in the pool scene. Until he starts whining about New York and Rachel, Finn is halfway appealing here. I'd agree. You know what? I don't want to talk about the scene with Sue at the doctor's office. Let's move on, please. Oh, right. Blaine is into boxing. I'd kind of forgotten. Way to remember character details, Glee. A texting while walking sermon. Oh, gavalt. At least White Dreads almost got his disgusting hippie toes stepped on. Even Deanna of Aragon is losing interest in this scene. Maybe the Glee writers won't be satisfied with just two characters in wheelchairs. Maybe one by one they'll all end up in wheelchairs. Give up the Glee club thing and form a wheelchair rugby team as seen in the 2000 film Murder Ball. It's a thought. Yes.
That happens in Friday Night Lights, too.
Does it really? Well, they do Murder Ball?
He joins Murder Ball. The guy from Murder Ball is on Friday Night Lights.
Oh, that's really cool.
The
main guy with the beard?
Yeah.
Ooh.
He's a character on it for like 2 years, I think.
That's really cool. 3 seasons. I will eventually watch it. Meanwhile, the Six Flags sequence is too stupid to merit comment. Hold on a sec. Does Mercedes not get to ride on the roller coaster? That looks like Amber Riley standing in the background while the other kids climb into the little cars. I can see the ads now. Six Flags. We depress the handicapped and we're still segregated. Enjoy!
But the Asians were allowed on.
The Asians. Yeah, but because they're model minorities, Erica. All right. The difference. Oh, I hate White Dread so much. Why? Why must Deanna of Aragon be forced to share a scene with this cretin? She has to say the line, "You're so inspiring." Yeah, he inspires me to shower regularly and wear shoes in public buildings. And now we return to Booty Camp, a name I am finding increasingly icky. If only he had watched America's Next Top Model, where we had Booty Tooch Camp this week. And I'm not kidding about that. We're really not kidding. No. They had Booty Tooch Camp, and a girl refused to participate, and she essentially got kicked off the show for it.
Yes.
Luckily, my local Fox affiliate chose this moment for a test of the emergency broadcast system. No shit. They kept the video, but lost the audio for a minute or two. Apparently, I missed a few more precious moments with right treads. What a tragedy. But the audio returned in time for Sue's speech, which is fortunate because this moment showed why Sue can be a valuable asset to the show. As I mentioned earlier, she gets to mercilessly critique the other characters and the show itself. She tore that unfortunate Ricky Martin episode a new one, for instance, and pointed out that Will has no adult friends.
Yep.
I didn't quite buy the sappy sentimental ending to the scene, however. Speaking of, so is White Dreads now in Glee Club?
Yeah.
Didn't he have to audition? Did he not? He just walked on. Like, hey, I'm here.
Okay.
So if you have Down syndrome, you have to audition.
Yes.
Okay. In a similar vein, I wish the Cooper Blaine story hadn't gone in a serious, slightly overwrought direction at the end. Glee must have been salivating to get that Somebody That I Used to Know song on the show, because it seems very awkwardly shoehorned into this relationship. This song is clearly, obviously, and manifestly about the end of a romantic relationship, and not about sibling rivalry. I know, Glee, the internet loves this song, and it's important to keep the internet happy. But it's better to wait until you find a moment when it's really right to use. Matthew Bormer and Darren Criss do a nice job with this, but it's altogether too heavy for a storyline which had been so much fun. Fortunately, once the song is over, they go back to bantering. Some of the air has gone out of the tires, though. And the episode ends in the worst way possible. Yes, it does, Wayne. A scene in which Rachel and Finn whine at each other while discussing their stinky old future. I can't believe I was rooting so hard for these kids at the beginning of season one, and now I just want them to be cast into a lake or fire for all eternity. Nah, that's too harsh. Rachel can still be a good character when she's not with Finn. She's quite funny in the acting workshop, and Finn is at least somewhat watchable as she shares a scene with Puck. But Rachel and Finn together? Poison. So that was Big Brother. The episode peaked with the acting workshop scene, and it was kind of long, slow come down from there. The Cooper Blaine story was ridiculously entertaining, even if it didn't get a little too serious towards the end. When I think back on the show, and I'm sure I'll be reflecting on old episodes of Glee in my autumn years, that's what I'll remember. I'm queasy about the Quinn story, and I can't even think about Sue's story. Meanwhile, Rachel and Finn are really circling the drain at this point. So I can't really endorse Big Brother, even though it contained some of my favorite moments of this season so far. Glee's a mess. What else is new? Wayne Kotke, of course, you can find him at d2writes.blogspot.com. It is such a mess!
It is, it really is.
And, yeah. They're in, I don't know. They need to change. It's April. They can do another prom episode and a graduation episode and a yada episode and then just be done, right?
Well, I'm sorry. It's Disco Whitney Promosaurus.
Is that the name of the episode?
Yes.
Promosaurus?
Promosaurus.
I don't know how I feel about that.
It doesn't have song listings yet.
Maybe they do the song, The Dinosaur.
I doubt it.
Like from the Super Nintendo movie. Super Mario Brothers movie. That'd be great. I don't know. I just want it to not suck. Is that too much to ask? Is it? It Apparently. Seems a lot to ask of, like, The Office lately and, you know, some of the other shows that I bring myself to watch. We'll see. We'll be back for next week at some point. That will be determined.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll talk about that. Maybe Sunday? I'll be out in Long Island Saturday night. Maybe Sunday morning.
Yeah, maybe Sunday morning.
Okay, we may have another in-person recording then.
Perhaps.
By the way, I am looking at Erica right now.
Yeah,
we're recording in person.
We're together.
I don't know if it feels different for you at home.
Feels different for us.
We're sharing a bag of Sun Chips and everything.
A fixie is a fixed gear bicycle. It has no free wheels, so if the wheel is moving, the pedals are moving. You can't coast.
Wait, okay. Wheels moving, the pedals are moving. That's weird. Okay.
The pedals are... a fixed gear bicycle is a bicycle that has no free wheel, meaning it cannot coast, as the pedals are always in motion when the bicycle is moving.
But what if, like, you're going down a hill? You're still pedaling?
You still have to pedal.
That's terrifying.
Well, the pedals will still be moving. I mean, I suppose
you can just stick your feet up. Seems like you are almost going to get hit by somebody texting while driving and get paralyzed. Semi-permanently. I don't know. Well, we will be back. Please send your emails
to gleecast@gmail.com.
You can follow us at Twitter.
I am Eric is Nitz.
I am Deadly Dolls.
Join our Facebook group.
Join our Facebook group. How do they actually find it?
You need to just search for GleeCast.
Search for GleeCast. GLEEKAST. Join there. People post stuff. That's great because it tells us stuff that I didn't know, which
is useful.
It's
a lot of fun.
Yeah. And listen to our other friend shows. We can't tell you to go to Palaver anymore, but
yeah, that's over.
They're all out there and everyone's all great. Everyone's there.
Should we attempt to list people? I don't know.
Gentleman's Guide to Midnight Cinema, Outside the Cinema, Show, Chinstroker vs. Punter, Married with Clickers, Action Attraction, I'm trying to open up my thingy. A V Cinema for Asian Films, Podcast Without Honor and Humanity, Beer Amigos, Erica's Boyfriend's Beer Cast. Oh, he's going to have probably a big one on the beer festival, I imagine.
Yes, there should be one about the Cascales Fest at Blue Point.
Uh-huh. So exciting stuff. Night of the Living Podcast, of course. How dare we forget them?
Big Red Podcast.
Big Red Podcast, of course, for other TV-related stuff. Yes. And they occasionally talk about Smash and are very entertaining about it because they feel very similar to us. Movie Matchup. Which we have to have. There's a couple of people we need to drag on for guest starring, but we need to get Troy on here. Stat.
Yes, we do.
And lots of other great ones that I can go through right now because I'll get stressed out. But listen to everything and share the love and just love people. It's what keeps the world aflame.
On that note.
I'm just trying to. No.
I don't know what to say
I'm just trying to. I don't know. Get serious for a minute. All right. You know? Okay.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.